And we are live. Welcome to the Tripod Special Edition. This is not NRL. Of course, the NRL finals kick off this weekend. But you know what else kicks off? The NFL season 2022 this Friday. And in a week from now, we will have seen a full Monday slate of games as well. So we had to do a preview for that. And I had to bring in the absolute gurus of our group. The Undertaker, who you know from Prop Me Up, did a full season of that last year with Barney. He's running it back. And Nettie Given Sunday, who's done, I've forgotten how many seasons of his column and then his weekly preview show as well, and years of tips. And both these guys have given us a lot of gems, a lot of profitable tips over the year. Got to say, over the years, happy Father's Day, lads, as well. Some trivia, I think it was Nettie's first Father's Day, it was Maddie's second, and it was my third, if you can believe that. So I know that it's not easy to find the time to do this, so we appreciate you guys. Maybe I'll throw to you boys before we jump into a bunch of all your typical NFL markers. Maddie, just talk about your plans this season for Prop Me Up.
Yeah, me and Barney are going to run it back this year. Yeah, really excited for the season. We're actually going to go live straight after the Friday game, Buffalo and Rams. We're going to go live straight after, a bit of an instant recap. And, yeah, we're just going to talk more in general about the games. I might post the props kind of, you know, on the Saturday or Sunday leading into the Monday and just talk more general NFL. I think maybe that'll be more popular with everyone else out there.
So that's Friday, but generally will it be a Saturday show again this year as well?
It could possibly be Friday night. We're still kind of throwing that up in the air, but it might be a Friday night deal.
Stay tuned, guys. And then Nettie Given Sunday, that's got to be on Sunday, right, Ned?
Has to be on Sunday, mate. No other days. Lord's Day.
No worries. Well, you're doing the Lord's work and breaking down the NFL, giving us tips, but also just making it that much more enjoyable, letting people know what to look out for and educating people. And we've got some other stuff that's in the works that we actually can't reveal tonight. But what we will be revealing is a lot of bets. We're going to go through a lot of markets. We would love to hear your guys' thoughts on these markets as we go through them, what you would back as well. And we're going to be releasing some plays that if you agree with them, you may even want to back them sooner rather than later, because I wouldn't be surprised if some odds are going to move. Now, it's come up quite quickly, really, hasn't it, with the season launching this week, as I said. Another thing is, if you are listening to this show, you may want to actually go and watch it. This is obviously available audio and video, and that's because I've got a lot of graphics that are going to come up in the screen. I've just realized every time the graphic comes up, it's going to go across Maddie's face, unfortunately. I'd much rather it went across mine. But we're going to talk about every team that we have a strong opinion on, and we're going to do that by going division by division. So let's kick it off. Anyone, what are we thinking? NFC, AFC, where do we begin? Does it just depend on which graphic I see first? It looks like we're going to go AFC, alphabetical. We're going to start with the AFC West. And I might throw to you, Maddie, since your favorite team plays in this division and they are the favorites, the Kansas City Chiefs. What I want to know is, are there any bets on teams in this division that you're interested in, whether it is a division bet, a team total, miss, make playoffs? What have you got for us?
Full disclosure here, massive Chiefs fan, but I actually had a bet on the Chargers to win at $3.50. I just think when you got the best roster maybe in the NFL getting $3.50, I don't really think Denver are quite there yet. I'm just unsure about them. I've got questions about them. I think the Raiders are a really good team, but it's just such a loaded division that I can't have them. I think it's really a two-horse race with them and KC. I had a case bet with Barney that KC would win the division. Right after that, we let Tyreek Hill go, so that didn't work out well for me. But now that the Chiefs are $2.50, I kind of think it's gone a little bit too far. It's still Andy Reid. It's still Pat Mahomes. I mean, that combo alone at plus money looks a bit tempting, but I'm in bed with KC at $2 with Barney. Bring it on. But, I mean, anyone wanting to get on the Chargers, you can find $3.50 out there. Couldn't talk you out of it. I think it's a pretty solid bet.
I have backed that as well, and I kind of buried the lead. We didn't just pick any old division. This is the best division in football, and every single game in between these teams is going to be so exciting. They all have a chance to make the playoffs, really. Nettie, how do you see this one?
I don't want to give too much away for later, and it's going to sound a bit shitty that we're all the same, but I was pretty much the same. I haven't played anyone in that division, but there's other futures where I've actually looked at the Chargers as well, but we don't want to look into that. But at the same time, it still is the Chiefs division. So what, like the last 4 years, two Super Bowl appearances, four straight AFC championships, like, I don't know, one guy going doesn't necessarily change everything. And I wouldn't be surprised where later on in the year, if they still come out and they're still kicking the absolute shit out of people with Juju Smith-Schuster, you're just like, oh, actually, no, they're really fucking good. Forgot about that.
And have you got any bets like either team totals or missile make playoffs, or just you think the best way to play this is Chargers at those decent odds to win the division?
Oh, I do, yes. If I was going to be playing anything in that division, it would just be the Chargers, not one. I'm not very confident in Denver. I know everyone's excited about Russell Wilson, but I think everyone's just going to read into it because Denver have done this before. They're bringing a veteran. Everyone's like, oh, this was the missing piece. And although Fangio was not good on the offensive side of the ball, he was really good for the defensive side. You've got a rookie head coach in there. So I'm not buying too much of what Denver's doing at the moment. So I think it's between the two-horse race, and I agree with Matty. I think top to bottom, Chargers probably have the best roster in the NFL.
They do have a phenomenal roster. Let us know what you guys reckon. Let's move to another really competitive division with multiple teams with playoff hopes, and that's the AFC North, led by the Ravens and Bengals. The Browns had the opportunity to have a big season. Their new newly acquired quarterback is going to be serving an 11-game suspension. Do your own research on that one. And even the Pittsburgh Steelers. Was it only last year that the Steelers started like 11-0? It seems like so long ago. What was it the year before? But and now they've moved on from Ben Roethlisberger. Obviously, the Bengals were the big surprise last year, going all the way to the Super Bowl with a 3-point lead with just a few minutes to go in that one as well. Nettie, I'll let you begin. How do you see the AFC North?
I still like the Ravens in this. Like, their main weakness at the moment is definitely their receiver room. Like, I think it's the probably least named and cheapest receiver room in the whole NFL. And yes, Bengals had their dream run and everything last year, but you look at how some things stacked up, and I just don't necessarily think they were just game planning and scheming and just outplaying everyone that they came across. Like, even the Chiefs could have and should have put them away in the whatever, won the championship game in that one, but obviously more games than that. But I still just think the Ravens are still a professional unit as a whole, and you still look like leading into December last year, they were the number one seed in the AFC. Right, and that was with losing all their running backs. And it wasn't until Lamar actually got hurt himself and then Marcus Peters went down and all the defensive guys, that's when they actually fell off a cliff. So this team can still kick the shit out of absolutely anybody if they want. I think they're going to be a little bit sour that they got knocked off last year.
And your mate, Matty, says Ravens all day as well. That's Barney chipping in. We appreciate his comments. And that's how I would have backed this one as well, especially when preseason it wasn't a surprise to anyone following and reading the tea leaves that Deshaun Watson was going to get some form of a suspension, which was going to be a big blow to Cleveland's hopes. You tell me, Matty, is that a fatal blow? And who steps up and takes this division now?
Yeah, straight up, yeah. I mean, you can write Cleveland off. They're not winning. I mean, they can't go 11 games with Jacoby Brissett and be a contender. They just can't. So it sucks for them. But my issue with this market is the Ravens opened at $3. They were $3 to win the division, and that's when I took a piece of them. And the Bengals are hot favorites, but now the market's, I think it's overcorrected. Now the Bengals are what, $2.70 now. You can get them on Bet365, and the Ravens about $2.30. So now that the price has done that, I actually like the Bengals at that price. I still think this is a passing league. It's 2022, and you look at all the weapons Joe Burrow has. They've shored up that O-line in the offseason. I mean, they've got Jamar Chase. They've got Higgins. They got Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, and you look at the Ravens, you know, they run the ball well, but Devin Duvernay, Rashad Bateman are their 1 and 2. And in a passing league, I mean, that could be a big problem. I think they match up really poorly against the Bengals. So, yeah, now that the prices have flipped like they have, I could only look at the Bengals.
And Barney made the point about the schedule for the Ravens. And the other thing is the Ravens were probably the most injured side last year. So if they stay healthy, then they're going to have big claims as well. Can Lamar find his best form? But you got Joe Burrow, Smoking Joe, or Joe Cool, who is in only his third year. And you've got to remember as well, missed nearly a full season worth of games with the ACL. So he even said last year when he came back, he didn't feel totally right. And yet we saw how well he was playing. Yeah, I kind of feel like everyone wants to pick a reason why a side that made the Super Bowl won't succeed the following year. And sure, the Bengals had a lot of things go their way, but that to me, it seems like a team on the up, and they've still got, you know, a coach that's kind of proven himself last year and a hell of a quarterback with some weapons to throw the ball to. Here's another division that's got a bona fide contender in it, the AFC East, which is headlined by the Buffalo Bills. They're $1.44 to take it out. Nettie, is anyone else going to challenge them? Miami, second favorite, $5.20. They're an interesting team to talk about. And, of course, the New England Patriots at $6 are in there as well.
No, it will be the Bills, I do believe, on this one. I do have some reservations on them. and that's something we can probably get into a little bit later when we talk about Super Bowl favorites and whatnot. But one that I have played pretty heavily and then put it into our joint multi thing as well is the Miami Dolphins over their win total. So you got to remember when Tua came in from college, he was coming off a very significant injury. There was an offense that was not designed for him. Like they came out and said afterwards, this was designed for Fitzpatrick. He had no help whatsoever. He had defensive-minded head coach. His best receiver was Devontae Parker, and he has been rated, I think, over the last 4 years at being one of the worst receivers in the NFL at getting separation. I only mean one of the worst is because he was the second worst in 1 year, but he was dead last the last 4 years. Like, that's just, that was their key guy. Their offensive line has now been upgraded heavily. And of course, McDaniel's coming across there, their head coach. And one thing he, you know, is very famous for is coming underneath the Shanahan system. And I heard this thing the other day, and this will sort of blow your dick off at the base. So out of every quarterback in the NFL, who do you think is number one in yards per attempt? Out of every quarterback for the last, since 2018.
Well, you're not going to tell me it's Tua.
This is dead time. So, no, it is actually Jimmy Garoppolo. Number one in the NFL in yards per attempt. But get this, he is rated number 42 out of 43 in actual air yards in throwing. So he throws it the shortest, but they get the most yak. This is something Miami have not been very good with. Now they have Jalen Waddle and, of course, Tyreek Hill. I think they're going to be a shitload of fun to watch this season. So I have them as their win total over.
I could definitely see it. I'm not going to talk anyone out of the Bills. They've probably got about the highest win total of any team in the NFL, but I wouldn't be surprised if that went over either. Matty, how do you see it?
Matty made a good case there for Miami. Look, Tua is definitely out of excuses this year. We're going to find out after this season if he's got it or he's not. All the pieces are in place, so he's got a lot to work with. So it's now or never for him. I'm low on Tua. I don't think he's that good, so I'm not head-to-head against Eddie. I haven't got their under. I see Barney's needling Mahomes there with Tua. Good on you,
yes.
Barney. who would I want more? Let me think about it. But Buffalo wins the division. I mean, they could go, 5-1 in division, so I just can't see anyone beating them. I'm high on them. We'll get to them in the futures as well, but that's the way I see it. Miami will be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. It's two a season or it's never at all this year.
And speaking of futures, next division we're going to go to is the AFC South. And before I throw to you guys, we have got a futures play that has been submitted by none other than the Padonis. And let me see if I can bring it up and we'll get his thoughts on a team that plays in the AFC South now. Which one is it going to be?
Well, one player I did like was the AFC number one seed, which is just essentially the highest ranking team in the AFC conference. And it's a regular season bet. And I think the Colts at $11.50 on Unibet represents some great value. And the beauty about this bet, we don't need the Colts to go all the way and beat those elite teams in postseason. We just need them to be consistent throughout the year. And I think they can do that. A big reason behind that, I think, is the introduction of Matt Ryan, who's a massive upgrade on Carson Wentz and what he produced last year. And despite many people calling for Matt Ryan to retire over the offseason, I think he's got plenty of gas left in the tank. And his production last year was still at a top 12 level, even though he was behind a poor Falcons team and was poorly coached as well. We know how the Colts want to play. He stepped straight into a team that's settled. On paper, the one weakness that you would say there was a knock on the Colts would be their receiving and tight end division, but because there's not much depth beyond Michael Pittman. But let's not forget, this is a team built to play off a lead and with Jonathan Taylor to lean on. And when you factor in how easy their schedule is, I think they're going to be able to control and dictate most of where these games take place. And just to highlight that draw for context, out of the 17 games, the Colts are projected favorites in 12 of them if on the look-ahead lines at the moment for week 1 to 17. And we know that their division is one of the weakest. They get to avoid some of the powerhouse teams like Bills, Bucks, Rams, and Packers. And their two toughest games in Chiefs and Chargers, it's at least in their own backyard at home.
And the Colts are $1.70 to win the AFC South. And Netty, your team was in a division with Matty Ice for the last 14 years. So no doubt you've watched him pretty closely. Should we be looking at this Matt Ryan to Colts trade akin to 2021 where Matt Stafford got traded, a different Matt got traded to a team and they got pushed over the top?
Is Matthias in a hospital ward? Like,
it is a funny background.
Should we be checking on him, make sure he's all right? No, I think Matty Ice is highly underrated. And I think this is a great move for the Colts. And I was surprised. I haven't checked this one for a while. I was surprised it's gone down to $1.71. I thought it was a great move. And I was looking through their roster the other day, and I completely just blew out of my mind that Stephon Gilmore's gone over there. Like, they slowly acquire these pieces. The one thing that makes me a bit nervous about them is you'll see it, and we spoke about this last year, is that they're extremely slow out the gate. Frank Reich has just always been like that. He just builds this information. I think they can have – I think that could very possibly happen again, because I think they played the Jaguars pretty early on in the season. For whatever reason, the Jaguars just own them, as we saw them knock them out of playoff contention last year. But I think that could also be because Reich has never had the same quarterback in back-to-back seasons, so he's always had to punch a whole lot of information in them to get them going as well. But this is probably one of the best teams I've got going forward. I don't think we're going to see as much Jonathan Taylor this year as well. I think they're actually going to look to air it out because Pittman is an absolute stud. I think Titans, despite what they've done the last couple of years, I've never seen a team sort of get as disrespected as what they have considering what they've done. But no, I really like the Colts. I liked the Colts a lot last year, but didn't turn out.
Maddie, Podonis has talked about top seed in the AFC, $11 does sound pretty juicy to me. I agree with a lot of his points, and I agree with Nettie that Matty Ice could make a real difference and that the team is pretty stacked. There's another team in this division that Nettie just touched on that actually was the number one seed in the conference. That's the Tennessee Titans. They're now $2.50. So talk about how you see them, because everyone is expecting a fair bit of regression from Tennessee this year.
Yeah, and I'm one of those people as well. They've traded away the farm. They're out of receivers. I think it's going to be a down year for them. Spewing, I'm going last in this comment section. I think a few of you stole my thunder already. I was going to make the direct comparison to Stafford and Matt Ryan. I was going to make that same comment. And just like Padonna said, I was actually looking at some of those futures, like number one seed on the Colts, just like Padonna. So I totally agree with all that. And on Nettie's point, well, the Colts come out of the gate at Houston. So they got the Texans in week one. They have stubbed their toe coming out in week one a lot, but surely not this year against Houston, who are just a bit of a rabble, honestly. So I do like the fact that they are saying about Jonathan Taylor, they aren't going to run him into the ground. They're not going to give him the Derrick Henry treatment. They want to preserve him. I think Frank Reich's comment was that would be stupid to do so. So he gets it. I'm high on the Colts. They're actually part of my custom future on Top Sport,
which we are going to share. Sorry, you're on mop-up duty, Maddie, but you get to come chime in last, so you get to pick apart everyone else's points. Well, how about I let you go first? We've done four AFC divisions. Let's talk about the AFC in general, because I am going to press you for a pick. It can either be who you think most likely wins the AFC, or because we're a betting show, I'd even prefer if you can tell me the best value pick on the board. As I put them up now, obviously the Buffalo Bills are favourites, but are you drinking Barney's Kool-Aid?
Yep, sign me up. I hate to be that guy. I hate to be boring. I want to throw out a, Jaguars win at whatever price. But the Bills are $4.50 in most places. Look, last year they were the league's number one defense, and then they added Von Miller. I think they can just be stupid good. They also have claims to be the number one offense and have Josh Allen. So the sky's the limit for this team. It's not a particularly strong division. Well, Nettie thinks so, but I'm not that big on Miami. But if they go 5-1, even 4-2 in division, look, it likely goes through Buffalo, the AFC Championship game. I can't have any of the AFC West teams with just how brutal that division is. So if it does go through Buffalo, good luck beating them in front of Bills Mafia in those conditions in December, January. So, I do like the Bills at $4.50. Haven't bet it because it's short. Maybe hope they lose week one to the Rams and then get on maybe at a better price.
You know, last year the Bills were out as high as 16-1. I did get a piece of that along with a couple of our good admin friends, and I still maintain they would have won. They would have won the whole thing. They would have beat Cincinnati, which they would have been in a game they would have been hosting, and I reckon they would have beat the Rams, but they somehow couldn't survive 13 seconds against your Kansas City Chiefs in one of the wildest games in living memory. But I think that's going to, and people will say, is that going to haunt them, or is that going to inspire them to go the next step, Matty?
And just to whinge on coaching quickly, I mean, great for me. I'm a KC man, but If Buffalo chose a squib kick instead of just the touchback, game over. They've got one play in KC, you're dead. So it's amazing that we know that and they don't. Any comment on that?
Yeah, and I reckon that game should be referred to as squib game. But I don't know if that's too deep of a cut. Nettie, I agree with Matty. I'm picking Buffalo to win the AFC, but do you disagree?
Yeah, I'm still really heavy on the Chargers, man. The thing that sort of concerns me a lot about the Buffalo Bills at the moment is there was a little bit of infighting last year that went under the radar. So that was between Sean McDermott, who was the former defensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, whenever head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and Brian Daboll. And what the disagreement was that Brian Daboll was passing too much. They wanted to get in the run. They wanted to have this identity and play defensive football. And I'm scared that McDermott, now that Daboll's out, is going to get his hands in there and sort of do almost like what Mike Zimmer was doing up there in the Vikings. So that's my concern with them. I'm still, yeah, big on the charge of this one. I'd love to see the Bills. Obviously love the Bills. One thing I did notice there, does the Denver Broncos have higher odds to win their division than the Chargers, but have the same priced odds to win the conference as the Chargers? Is that right?
Yeah, that's very shrewd picking that up. So higher ceiling, but maybe not predicted to win as many regular season games. But I don't know if the Broncos necessarily do have a higher ceiling, do they?
Oh, yeah. No. I don't want to know that.
That's a question on Russell Wilson, who just signed a mega deal, so they've got the faith in him. But, you know, I don't mind your Chargers pick. A lot of people are going to knock it because they are the perennial underachievers. But at some point, you do get over the hump. They've got, you know, they've got the quarterback, they've got the weapons, they've got a stacked roster, and probably a better coach than they've had in past seasons. We're going to flip conferences now. How about we go into a division near and dear to your heart, Nettie, the NFC South, and you can lead us off with any bets you've got on any of the teams in this one. I want you to talk about your team. I am quietly optimistic on how they might go, despite the fact they are listed at $11 underdogs to win the division. I'm not necessarily saying they could do that, but their win total, let us know your thoughts on that. Obviously, Tampa Bay, led by Tom Brady, are $1.34 favorites in this one.
I think it bombs early. I think it bombs hard. There was something that I'd played. It was a Baker Mayfield, I think 22.5 might be his touchdown, passing touchdowns. I've gone the under for that, mostly because I was sort of hoping with Christian McCaffrey coming back and hopefully staying healthy, that's what, for a chance, they're actually going to run the ball a lot more. He's only hit 23 passing touchdowns, I think, once in his time in Cleveland, and that was with a far better coaching staff, and that was a far better O-line, debatable about the wide receivers, so he never really crossed that one. And I had a feeling that things were going to start to go pear-shaped and that eventually bring Corral in. Corral is now hurt. Sam Darnold is now hurt. So he looks like he's going to be playing the full season there. But I don't foresee it being as good as what you guys do. Don't get me wrong, I'll cheer them on, but I can just see this thing getting pretty tough early on. And if they string in, I think it's a pretty tough schedule. I can't remember off the top of my head, but they can easily lose a couple of games there, and then all of a sudden they're staring in this deep hole, and I just think that's when Matt Rule just gets gone.
And any thoughts on Tampa Bay? I mean, they're favorite to, or they're expected to really be in the NFC title game. Do you see them as the cream of the crop in this conference?
I don't know. The NFC is just so fucking, it is just so weak at the moment. Like, there's not as many heavy hitters. I think there are some teams that are still going to shake it up, but when they come up against AFC, they're just so much more battle-tested. And even still, like, the doubts that you have with the Bucs at the moment, like, that defense isn't as good as what it has been years past. And those offensive line injuries just keep stacking up. Every day there's another person going down, which lends them very susceptible to a New Orleans Saints team whenever they play them. So they could be sneaky as well. But I just fucking hate every team in my division, mate, to be honest.
How do you feel about the Buccaneers, Matty?
I'm a seller. They might win the division. You know, they're favored to do so. But under 11.5 wins is part of my future again in my season multi on toppy. So, look, this is a massive concern, all the losses that they have on the Bucs. It's still going to be an elite defense. They've added Akeem Hicks to stop the run on top of already one of the best run-stopping units. But they've lost a lot on offense, and Tom Brady's lost like four of his starting five tackles, I think, as well. So that's a really big deal. His center's out. I think the Saints could be just as good a roster, and the price is just so different. So I couldn't have any piece of Tampa. They probably win it, but the prices are crazy. I wouldn't want any piece of them at all.
Saints coached by Dennis Allen, who was the defensive coordinator, right? And quarterbacked by Jameis Winston. So some degree there.
Very different team without Sean Payton calling the plays.
Just a note, on the Carolina win total, though. The market's rating them as a flat-out bad team. They've got the same win total as the Chicago Bears. So just think about that. The market says they're a bad team. I say they're probably an average team. So there's value on the over automatically, I think. So we're going to know after 2 weeks. They've got two basically pick'em games. They open with the Browns, and then they're at New York Giants after that. So pretty much two pick'em games. We're going to know pretty early about them.
Baker Mayfield revenge season. So as you guys said, there's not a lot of...
Sorry, mate. You see the murderer's row that happens after that, though? Saints, no. Cardinals, San Fran, Chargers, Los Angeles, sorry, Tampa Bay. There it is right there. Week 8, that is when you sack someone. Atlanta Falcons, and then you get Cincinnati, then you get the Falcons, then you get Baltimore, then you get Denver. Someone's going to die.
If you're not 2-0, if you're not 2-0, it could easily be 0-8 or something like that.
Exactly. If we don't get
and
up
that's it. Gone, and that's done. It's important for people, you know, people who follow more NRL might not quite get the context of that. Like in the NRL, more or less, you play most sides twice, but even in the NRL, some teams have harder schedules than others. But there are 32 NFL teams. You only play 17 games and you play in division twice. So teams can have quite a bit of disparity in strength of schedule. So it is an important point to bring up.
With the Panthers, if Matt Corral now is hurt, right, and Baker Mayfield is not working out and they're starting to drop games left, right, and center, and then they fire Matt Rhule, what are you playing for? Like, they haven't re-signed Baker. Like, I'm just worried that these players are just going to be like, whatever. Let's just cash this one in for the year. That's my concern anyway.
And, I mean, if you look at the Bengals last year, it might have looked like they had a really tough division, or I think we made the case that, you know, against someone like the Arizona Cardinals, their division looked too hard last year, Vegas as well. But sometimes it's, you know, because we don't know how all these teams are going to go, sometimes the path and, you know, and injuries happen and stuff, sometimes the path isn't always as difficult as it might seem preseason. So we'll see. But, yeah, I'm optimistic on your Carolina Panthers, even if you're trying to temper that. Neddy, maybe you just don't want to jinx them. So the other side that is the big favorite in this conference is the Green Bay Packers. It was kind of theirs to win last year. They got the number one seed. They got the solitary bye, but then they blew a home game against the 49ers. They are still reasonably short to win the NFC North at $1.53. Well, I don't mind that Vikings. I think I got them around $4, and you probably still can shop, as we see on the screen, $3.65. But shop around, you might get close to $4 on the Vikings. Neddy, do they have a shot in this one?
I played their season win total over, I think, before it ticked up by one. So now I've just changed it, sort of pivoted to in my multi for them to make the playoffs. I think they're a real possibility. There's been a lot of news that has come out that their new head coach was the guy who was at the Rams, who obviously coached Cooper Kupp, and they're talking about having more of a spread offense and using Justin Jefferson a lot more than what they did have, or were using, sorry. Number one game plan over absolutely everything is get Justin Jefferson the ball as much as you can. I think he's by far one of the most talented wide receivers in the ball. I think that's going to be very dangerous. They have withheld a lot of talent on the defense, gone and got a couple more people. And I think Zimmer was holding that team back an awful lot with his arrogance. And you have a look at his history, it is just like they will have a coach calling plays through there. They pass, the team goes really well. He gets angry. All right, run the ball, bang, fire the offensive coordinator. And they just keep recycling the same thing every year until eventually the owner said, Mike Zimmer, get the fuck out. Now, this year, like I said, they're focusing more on spreading, even getting Dalvin Cook in more space. I think they can be very dangerous. Also, another thing to add on is that this year, because of the new schedule, the NFC teams get an extra home game. And you're also looking at the Vikings, who have the best home field against the spread of any team in the NFL as well. So that could be another win. I think there's 67% I've got here, ATS at home, best in the league.
That's a pretty strong factor. I mean, in saying that, Barney's commenting now, and his team has a pretty strong home advantage as well at Lambeau Field there. Maddie, how do you see this division? Any bets on any of the sides of this one?
No, I've got the Bears under there. Their season win total 6.5, but we'll talk about them a bit later. Just on the Vikings and Packers again, though, really interesting division. We've got what could be the best offense in the league in Minnesota. I agree with everything that Neddy said there. And look, addition by subtraction, getting rid of Zimmer. He and Pete Carroll cut from the same cloth. They're just dinosaurs. There's no place in the league anymore. They get sexually aroused from running on 2nd and 10. Drives me nuts. So great thing they're gone. But then you've got Green Bay here. We know what they've lost in offense with, you know, Devonta Adams and whatnot going, and Valdez-Scantling to my Chiefs there. But we've got what could be the number one defense in the league this year, probably a good shout at that. But on top of having the best defense, you've got Aaron Rodgers. So you figure they'll find a way to still win that division. But Vikings are a pretty interesting look. And, I mean, in general, I think you want to back a lot of overs in, just like, I mean, game totals in Vikings games, because it's still a poor defense, but that offense could be electric and best in the league.
What's your feeling towards Aaron Rodgers, Matty?
Oh, he's a great quarterback in the regular season.
In the regular season, top five. He has won the last two MVPs, but, yeah, who's he throwing to this year, of course? And I shouldn't even take us down this track, but you're talking about Zimmer, whether he's good or not, whether he's a dinosaur. And I heard someone say, getting aroused. Has anyone seen his girlfriend? Hasn't he got like a he's in his 60s, but he's got a girlfriend who's an Australian girl in her 20s. So,
well, she's probably left him now,
game respects game. shall we move to the NFC East, Netty? Then this is a division where I think we all probably like the same underdog, although as I put the odds up on the screen, they're not the underdog anymore. The Philadelphia Eagles have come into favoritism to win the NFC East. Do you agree with that, Ned?
Yes. All right. I've been playing a lot of anti-Dallas stuff this year. And I think we all, through our little chat, we're speaking about the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think they only sort of moved into favor the last couple of weeks with Tyrone Smith getting injured. But my big thing against Dallas, like, you have a look, they had 12 wins last year. 9 came by at least a touchdown. When you have a look at those 9 wins, Taylor Heineke twice, Daniel Jones, Mike Glennon, Jalen Hurts, Gardner Minshew, Sam Darnold, Taysom Hill, Matt Ryan. So that is the NFC East plus Taysom Hill and Matt Ryan. And you have a look, the first 8 weeks, they were 6-1. And then at the back end of the season, they went 6-5. Why is that? Injuries? No, predictability. They are the number one team at being identified that if they have 3 or more wide receivers, they're going to pass. They're 68% pass. 2 or few wide outs, 39% pass. And it gets even worse and even more predictable when Dak is under center. So he's got his hand up the center's bum. He's 33% pass. And when he's in shotgun, 78% pass. They did the same thing the year before when it was Andy Dalton. And everyone just thought because it was Andy Dalton, but turns out McCarthy really fucking sucks. And I think this is going to get carried on again. Offensive line's more banged up. Connor Williams, their guard is gone. Lyle Collins is gone. Torrance Smith, 32 years old, and is hurt. I think it's Philly's time. And I love just how Howie does this, the owner of the Eagles. Like, he just gets so aggressive and he's just re-looped. And they didn't even know whether Hurts was the guy, but they're just going all in, bring everything in, just doing it the right way. Rookie quarterback deal and just bring in all the studs, man. I love that they build it this way.
And what do you make of this quarterback who is on a rookie deal? Because he's kind of polarizing, or is he middle of the road or better or worse than that, Matty? Obviously, having a mobile quarterback opens up, you know, different moves on the chessboard. But are you a believer in Jalen Hurts?
I think I need to see some more proof. That playoff loss to Tampa was damning. I mean, that was a brutal watch on him. I was calling for him to get hooked at halftime for Gardner Minshew, because he could get nothing going on in the air. And I think that's going to be the story.
I found that so funny. The clips they record, you know, the players are mic'd up, and wasn't there that famous footage that was leaked where the defensive backs for Tampa Bay were openly saying to each other, this guy can't read defenses. Like, did you guys, I don't know if you guys saw that clip, but they were basically saying, yeah, if we change the coverage, he can't read it. He can only throw. And that was pretty damning. And they were leading that game 31-0 at one stage. And that's the last game everyone remembers. But Philly won their fair share of regular season games before that one.
I think they're going to be like a bit of a Baltimore side. When they're out in front, they're going to be fantastic. You know, both sides of the ball, they're just so dominant. But when they're behind, it could be a worry. I don't really trust Jalen Hurts down 2 touchdowns. So need to see a bit out of him this year. But he's got his best mate in the world, AJ Brown, with him. So let's see if he can get it done with a bit more in the wide receiver corps.
And that will leave another interesting division, the NFC West, Netty, where the Super Bowl champions reside. The LA Rams, and they are the favorites, $2.17 here. But there's a couple other contenders. There's Arizona, who also started really hot last year. I think they must have been about 11-1 or something along those lines before falling away late. And then another side with a mobile QB who I think is going to be very polarizing, and I want you guys to make a bold prediction on which way it's going to go, and that is San Francisco with new man Trey Lance under center. So how do you see this one, Ned?
So I played the 49ers to win this division. I love.
So did I.
I love that Russell Wilson has left this division, because the 49ers own the Rams. They just do. That is just what happens. They play McVay, they end up beating them every time. They're a team that has been extremely injured year after year. So whatever they're doing, they're just fucking do it different. I don't know. Or do nothing. Do less. I don't know. And obviously, yeah, Seattle Seahawks, I don't have to worry about them anymore. Russell Wilson's gone. Arizona Cardinals, I'm extremely down on this year as well. I played their win total underneath. I will. So, yeah, on this one, the one I like the most is San Fran 49ers. I think they can actually win it again, or win it this year, sorry.
So, Matty, you said you echo that sentiment then. You also backed San Fran, probably got them at $3 or so.
No, so I echo Neko's sentiments exactly there. No, I got him at a similar price to Nettie, so I just completely echo what he said. I got nothing more to add to that. Nettie's a man. He's got all the stats. Agree totally.
In fact, talking about division odds, correct me if I'm wrong, Matty, you tipped, jumping back to NFC East, you did tip Philadelphia in our group at $2.75
a week ago. Yeah, I think on double $2.75.
Yeah, even that. That's juicy now. As I said, they are favourites. But, yeah, getting into the NFC West, the way I see it is I think that San Francisco are a very complete side, top to bottom, easily could have beaten the Rams. They catch that intercept. They do beat the Rams in the fourth quarter there last year, and then maybe San Francisco in all likelihood would have been favourites in the Super Bowl. They came that close. The big question mark is Trey Lance. He really hasn't shown a lot, but they traded away a lot to bring him in. He deputized last year, did play a start or two and play a few snaps that didn't do much behind Garoppolo. They've given him the keys. And I see it like if Lance can even be capable at quarterback, then this is a playoff team that's going to be quite dangerous. And with the upside of being able to run the football and being mobile, if he can be better than people expect in that Shanahan system, then this is a true Super Bowl contender. On the other hand, if he's a disaster, which some people are speculating he could be as well, then that he is going to always limit what San Francisco can do. So I think how you bet San Francisco depends on how optimistic you are on Trey Lance. Anything to add on that, Ned?
I think the fact that they've re-signed Jimmy G as well, I think is massive. Like an insurance possibly in case he just does go balls up or in case he gets injured. This is someone that knows their offense and he's by far the best backup in the league. I think that's massive.
And, Matty, you can keep talking about San Francisco as well as I put up the odds for the NFC in general because they are one of the contenders there.
No, and then he just made my point. I mean, if Trey Lance sucks, you plug in Jimmy G, a guy that should have probably been in two Super Bowls in the last 3 years. So the floor is so high for this team. If he stinks, get Jimmy in and away you go. You haven't lost anything. You might have gained. Who knows?
I find it funny when, you know, people talk at someone like Garoppolo and say, well, he couldn't get over the hump. Like, he's not good enough to win a Super Bowl, but I kind of think like he got to a Super Bowl and they were up 10 again, like they're up 10 in the fourth quarter. And if not for, you know, a pretty miraculous long play on third down, San Francisco easily could have been the Super Bowl champions just a couple of years ago. And then what would be the narrative? You know, I think if you can get there and you can get that close, then you shouldn't be blamed. But this is the big unknown with Trey Lance. But we've already kind of discussed about the NFC that there aren't a lot of really big, true heavyweights here, which means somebody could surprise and go deep. I kind of like the look of Philly. But if I had to pick it, I guess I'll go first. I would pick the Rams for a return trip because to me they don't look much worse. And I feel like even the talk that Aaron Donald said I might retire and McVay easily could probably take a $50 million deal and go commentate for Amazon or something, but they're running it back. And I think they're going to be every bit as strong this year. And although Tampa Bay are the $4 favorites and the Packers are looming there, I'd take the Rams to win this conference. Nettie, what about yourself?
You sort of forget that they went out and still got like Bobby Wagner too, like the best off-ball linebacker in the game. It's like, oh, yeah, no, here's another guy that's the best in that position, so we'll just go and get him. So between Jalen Ramsey, him, Aaron Donald, whatever, we'll just keep stacking them. You then go and get Keenan.
Khalil Mack. No.
He's the receiver, sorry.
He's playing for the other LA side.
Yeah. I keep thinking Keenan Allen, but it's not. Allen Robinson,
yes. Right, from the Bears.
In fact, they've gone and got him as well, someone who's had to deal with the worst receivers upon worst receivers upon worst receivers that everyone just forgets how absolutely amazing he was, even when he was down in Jacksonville, and then you go to slot him in there as well. They are still stacked, but I've got a soft spot for the 49ers. I love their depth. I love how aggressive they can go, and I'm just hard for Kyle, man.
And the thing is about the 49ers, if you play them over or under their win total, I mean, maybe they could win a bunch of games even with poor or below average quarterback play. They can't win the Super Bowl or make the Super Bowl with below average quarterback play, but it's such an unknown. It makes sense to play them for the extremes because if Lance is good, then watch out. If Lance is good, then this is probably the best team in this conference, aren't they, Matty?
Well, look, in this market, though, in any market, really, you want to find a vulnerable favorite. That's when you can find a good bet. And I don't think there's a more vulnerable favorite than Tampa Bay, $3.80. I mean, Tristan must be begging for people to load up on that. I'd love to take that as a bookmaker. But, yeah, the $3, $4 mark for Tampa is just crazy. Wouldn't touch it. I think the other two favorites, the Rams and the Packers, are also a vulnerable favorite up there as well. Back what we just spoke about 5 minutes ago, I love San Fran at $9. Top Sport are the top of the market there. They're between $6 and $8 on the other bookies. They've got to be worth a bet. I mean, like we said, the Niners do own Sean McVay. They always steal their lunch every time they play. Great coaching staff, depth of QB. I can only look at San Fran at $9.
I love the way you segue there to Tristan and Top Sport, Matty, and futures odds, because we've just talked about all the teams. We're going to actually talk about some player bets as well, but first we're going to get a bookie preview, which Tristan did provide for us today.
G'day, Tripod family. Tristan from Top Sport here, and we've got the NFL starting this weekend. It's always one of the most exciting times of the year, and we're obviously having a little bit of a preview show tonight. So as Jacob touched on earlier in the week, we're going to price up our custom markets like we have done for a number of sports and for NFL last year. So get your requests in. I'm going to work on them probably from Tuesday after close of business through to Wednesday. So if you can have your markets in by Tuesday evening at the latest, then I'll get them all up so everyone's got plenty of time to have a play on them prior to the game commencing on Friday. So I'll put up a little market there that Jacob's requested. Also, Matt and Nettie have put in their requests. So I've put those up into the section by themselves, which you'll find Matt and Nettie's markets there, which will be where all the other ones appear from Tuesday and Wednesday onwards. So have a look at both of those, guys. Get involved if you want to. Submit your request up and I'll price as many of them up as I can. In terms of where the money's been at, the outright betting has seen good support for the two favourites. We've got Buffalo and Tampa as the two favourites. Buffalo is our second worst weight. Tampa actually is our worst weight, which I was a bit surprised because I couldn't see any big bets, but someone's got a $120 multi to win $125,000. So it's the last leg of that multi. They've had a number of footy games, some horse races, and they threw Tampa in to win the Super Bowl as the last leg. So good luck to the brave punter that's involved there, and he'll be hoping Tom Brady can get the job done. Just at some of the player markets, the comeback player of the year has seen a little bit of support. That's always a good one for punters to be involved with. Derek Henry is the favourite, James Winston's second pick, but the punter that the player they've come for actually at sizable odds is Baker Mayfield, getting back from $15 into $12. That's our biggest liability at this stage. And then just finally, the MVP is always another very popular player based market, and Josh Allen is our worst way there. He's the favourite at $7.50. Patty Mahomes is the second favourite at $8.50, and then you've got Justin Herbert and Tom Brady, both at the $9.50, and a little bit of value they've come for Jalen Hurts. He's been $41 into $19. So good luck to everyone having a bet over the course of the season in advance, and hopefully it's a very enjoyable one coming up for us.
Sorry, you're always the one that gets covered up, Matty, but thanks to Tristan. So how about that? $1,000 at 125 to 1, and every leg gets up, and you've still got to wait a whole NFL season, and you're on, 45? I lose track. Is he 45-year-old now, Tom Brady?
Yeah, 45,
But, hey, who am I to say that he's not aging well? And, you know, he keeps proving people wrong every year, and they are the favourites to make the Super Bowl in the NFC. So we've talked a bit about teams. We will touch on them a bit more because, as Tristan said, everyone gets the chance to submit custom NFL multis. That is in the Tripod Facebook group. You guys have that chance, so get in the next 24 hours. We've all done ours. We're gonna share those at the end of this pod. But first, we're going to talk some player bets and player awards. And let's start with the biggest prize of them all for individual players, MVP. Matty, you want to lead us off? I'll try and dig up the graphic, but have you got a bet or a way that you would play this market?
I don't have a bet at the moment. It's all about entry point with these kind of bets, and at the current prices now, I mean, the guys I like at the top of the board, I mean, I like Josh Allen, his favourite, so what do? I mean, nothing. Maybe, again, hope that Buffalo lose in week one and then look at a price there if he goes up, because I think if they win, he's the favourite anyway. I don't think it'll move much, but if they lose, he might get an extra dollar. So at the moment, nothing pre-flop. Looking at Allen, if I can get on a better price a bit later.
Nettie?
I don't know. I like me personally, I never actually like to jump on these things too early. Like, you have to look for a lot of these awards, like the MVPs, the Offensive Rookie of the Years, whatever. So much of it is narrative. And you could have, I think Josh Allen still has a good narrative because he obviously got so close and the Pat Mahomes loss and all that thing last year. There is, again, I'll keep tooting his horn, the Justin Herbert thing, because he's the new guy on the block. There could be that as well. They're the two guys that I'd be looking for, honestly, out of those ones. I don't, yeah, they'd be my two.
Maddie, you said Josh Allen's $7.50, or in fact, I think as high as $8. What do? You bet it. He's going to win this more than one in eight. Cool. He's going to be the storyline. He's the hottest property. I don't know if he is the best quarterback on the planet, but everyone talks about him as if he is. You know, I talked about getting the Bills at $16 last year because people didn't realize how good they were just mid-season last year. But now the secret's kind of out. But on these narrative-based awards, they probably could be the most high-powered offense in the NFL, or at least one of. And for MVP, you just need to win a lot of games. You need to be a high seed, if not a top seed. Allen, he's going to have the highlights. He does it with his arm and on the ground. And I'm going to say back that sports bet, I think $8. I would jump on him. You know, sure, you know, if there's an outsider, Tristan mentioned Jalen Hurts as well. If Philly, you know, I'm looking at the teams in the NFC that maybe have that opportunity to surprise and win a few more games than people expect. But for this one, I wouldn't overthink it. I actually would endorse Josh Allen on the defensive side of the ball because, you know, MVP pretty much always goes to an offensive player. And these days, it'd be crazy to give it to anyone other than a quarterback. Neddy, I'm interested in your thoughts if there's any value for the defenders.
What we got here? Same sort of thing, man. Narrative award. Like, you can look at Myles Garrett. I think people are starting to forget that he assaulted a man on live television with a helmet. So everyone's, especially for a racial comment, like everyone's sort of dusted that off. So he's someone.
Yeah, but that doesn't stop you winning Defensive Player of the Year because Aaron Donald did that too.
That's what happens when you should win. But there's someone in there as well, like Micah Parsons. I mean, that is a do-it-all guy as well. He's Dallas. You know, I think that's someone that could easily put into it. But those top four guys are really your guys, I think. Nick Bosa, Nick Bosa is awesome, but I just don't think he is just like the guy like that, whereas TJ Watt's obviously going into it. So the guys, I would say Micah Parsons or Myles Garrett.
Maddie?
This isn't really my strength, this kind of market, but I do like Micah Parsons too. I think I saw a $10.50 price on him. I think it was about $365. I do like Parsons. I think he's one of the, you know, the years down the track, he might be considered the best defensive player in the game. Does it all. He probably could have won it last year as a rookie. He's unbelievable.
Tell Tristan as well, he's got a Chargers helmet next to Aaron Donald. He messed up.
Oh, I noticed that. You've got the wrong LA team, and at the bottom, he's got Khalil Mack with a Bears helmet, but Khalil Mack plays for the Chargers. And I'm going to throw a flyer out there. Someone else on the defensive line for the Chargers, Joey Bosa. I think he's the better Bosa brother. I just think Nick has played on the better unit, but we're talking up the hopes of the Chargers this year, and Joey Bosa could be teeing off, and he's $23 and shop around for that one. That would be how I'd play Defensive Player of the Year because you do get opportunity to hit from some wider odds. All right, if you don't have a play on any of these, that's fine, but we'll whiz through them quickly. Maybe there's just one skill position player you want to talk about. Let's start with passing yards leader. Any value there, Maddie?
Yep, Justin Herbert. I really like him. I mean, one, he plays in the stadium. He plays at SoFi Stadium in LA. Never gets any weather games, so he's going to have, you know, really good conditions most of the games he plays. Playing in that AFC West again, you're going to have to be in shootouts because you've got no choice. You're playing your high-powered offenses in the Chiefs and all of them. Denver, even the Raiders, are going to be really feisty with the ball. I can only look at Herbert there. I think it's a pretty good price to get in pre-flop.
Neddy, make a case for anyone else?
No, I got nothing, mate.
Let's move to receiving yards, Neddy. Which receiver? You talked about Justin Jefferson before, and obviously the new role or larger role he might get under the new regime. He is the significant favorite. Second favorite being Cooper Kupp, who had one of the greatest seasons by any wide receiver last year. But there are some studs in this league as well. CeeDee Lamb's going to be asked to do even more for Dallas. He's the third favorite. Jamar Chase set the league on fire last year in his rookie year. Devontae Adams, with a new quarterback and a new location, and Diggs, who plays obviously on the Bills, and I've just tipped Allen for MVP. So which direction do you go with this one, Ned?
Well, you can sort of poke holes in just about anything, right? Like, you sit there and you look at Devonta Adams, and sure, the Raiders might be passing a lot more, but they still haven't even figured out who's on their offensive line, and they kick off in a couple of days, you know what I mean? So someone there, like at $6.50, I wouldn't be playing around with that one too much. So maybe just take a flyer on CeeDee Lamb. I think he's going to get fed a lot with no Amari Cooper there. Might be time to showcase him a bit more.
Matty, got an angle on this one?
Yeah, with these kind of markets like passing and receiving, you want to look at things like where the players play. So I saw Barney in the comments writing Diggs at 15. Trouble is, how many weather games are going to be in Buffalo where they, you know, Josh Allen has 150 yards. So that's a real thing. I can only look at guys really playing in the West Coast where they just get that perfect weather all year round. So, I mean, you can get Jefferson and Cooper Kupp both around the $10 mark if you shop around. I don't see a problem with having, you know, half a unit on each of those guys. Then you're effectively getting 5-1 on one of them winning it. I wouldn't want to lay that. I wouldn't want to lay 5-1 that one of those guys wins it. So I think they're both a real look. Yeah, Jeff, and you want both, you know, dominant receivers as well. The other a problem with some of the other guys in the other teams, there's two good wide receivers where it goes around, like T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. They're both going to get a lot of work, but it's going to be all Jefferson. It's going to be all Kupp. I mean, Robinson's going to get a bit, but they're going to see a ton of targets, and they're going to be the main guys. So those two, yeah, half unit play in each of them. That's going to be my angle at about $10 if you shop around.
You're not nervous and about Jalen Reagor going to the Vikings, mate?
Not yet.
We're not beyond the statute of limitations for a different yardage bet, passing yardage, Matty, that you tipped in our group. Deshaun Watson, what odds was he again when you tipped
26,
that?
26. I'll live off it for a good 5 years, I reckon.
And that was passing yards. But let's talk rushing now, and I'll throw it back to you. Neddy, the favourite, the cyborg, Derrick Henry. Is he the best running back in the league at this point in time? And is he the one you'd pick, or would you go for longer odds?
Well, what's his odds for comeback player of the year? Do you know that off the top of your head?
I think he'd be similar. I don't think I've got that one, but I can look it up. But you're suggesting, I mean, that would be a better way to play it.
That's what I'd sort of be thinking there. I mean, if anyone's going to come back from a Liz Frank injury and just not be worried at all, it's literally going to be Derrick Henry. I don't think Jonathan Taylor is going to see as much this year. I don't think Dalvin Cook's going to see as much this year. Najee Harris, their offensive line's disgusting. So maybe it is going to be Nick Chubb. But then again, you poke a hole in that, every team's just going to be like, okay, it's Jacoby Brissett. They're just going to be running. So, heck, maybe that one is one where you scroll down a little bit further to see. I don't know.
It's a funny one. Hey, like, yeah, it's Christian McCaffrey is not on the list. I'll have to look that up. You know what? That was a pretty good guess. He is right around the same odds. $5.20 to win the rushing title, $5 to win comeback player of the year. So maybe that's the better way to play him, because if he leads the league in rushing, he probably is the comeback player of the year, but maybe he could come second or third and still win it. You know, I was thinking Nick Chubb because it's going to be his team, but it's that funny kind of conundrum, isn't it? Like, if you got no other options, then everyone keys in on you. So then does it become harder? You could probably make that same case against Henry with Tennessee losing some of their key wide receivers. What about you, Matty? Any play on this one, the rushing title, or any running back you're looking forward to watching this season?
It's a big block of Swiss cheese, isn't it? There's just holes poked in every one of those guys. I still kind of lean Jonathan Taylor, because even though, you know, Reich has said we're not going to run him into the ground, they've got such a good O-line and they play such a bad teams with run defenses. He's still going to be really efficient. So even if he's only having, you know, 18, 20 carries a game, he's still probably going to go for 5-6 yards per carry. He can still get 100 yards a game. So just on the schedule and opponent run defenses, I'm still going to lean Jonathan Taylor, but it's not a market I touch. Too open.
Can I tell you guys, yep, and everyone that's listening in full confidence about one of the most painful bets I've ever made in my life? I played Jonathan Taylor's rushing total under last year. That was fucking painful.
Well, and when was it done? It was probably done by about week 12. yours was done probably even sooner, Matty. All right, well, since we're all shaming ourselves, how about this? I gave out a season multi last year, Tripod NFL season multi. I picked four teams to miss the playoffs. My four teams to miss were the Philadelphia Eagles, the Las Vegas Raiders, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Arizona Cardinals. So I went reverse sweep. But stay tuned, guys, because I'm going to go better this year. I got one I'm really confident in. One more player market I wanted to chuck up, Rookie of the Year. This will probably be Offensive Rookie of the Year, and it's pretty wide open with George Pickens, $8.50 favorite. Any thoughts on this one, Neddy? I feel like you want to try and find a quarterback.
No, I actually don't. No? So
I guess it was Jamar Chase last year.
Yeah, it is sort of, again, it's very much the narrative of Warden, because there wasn't any surefire quarterbacks coming through here very early on. And you have a look at the Steelers, so you still got Mitch Trubisky in there. There's no saying that Kenny Pickett will start early enough. I really like George Pickens. You know, he's getting a lot of publicity at the moment because he just keeps pushing cornerbacks over and all that sort of stuff. They're going to have him on the outside. And you've got to remember, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the best at all time of bringing in these people with small mental issues, making them a wide receiver and making them into superstars. They just do this every single year. And I think Pickens is one of those people that's sort of on the cusp of being a lunatic.
And how about throw to our other lunatic? I think the biggest lunatic of all is in the comments. So we appreciate everyone commenting, but especially you, Barney. But Maddie, any thoughts on Rookie of the Year?
No, this is just too. This is a Melbourne Cup field, and they're all kind of short prices. I don't really want to borrow any of it. I mean, maybe Chris Olave at $12. I'm pretty high on the Saints this year. He could be worth a look, but who knows? If Rodgers decides he likes Romeo Dubs, he could be a look as well. If he decides to, you know, he's my new Devontae, he could get a ton of volume. So, but no bets at those prices.
It's narrative driven as well, because Mac Jones was all but crowned Rookie of the Year, and then Jamar Chase had a couple of crazy games.
Jacob.
Yeah, late in the season and nabbed it from him. So you've got to stay aware, and sometimes you can find value during the season. So even some of these markets that Maddie might say I don't have a preseason opinion on, you might just know when to strike at the right time. But these are just some of the main individual award markets you can bet on, but there's so many more. In fact, the Podonis is going to come back, and he's got to tip in another player. Well, this is more like a player prop market. I'll let Podonis explain. It's pretty juicy if you want to get on.
Interceptions, and that's Carson Wentz at $34 and bet365. I think that's an outstanding play on a quarterback who's already declined in recent seasons. And if it was poor at Indy with everything set up in his favor, then I can make the case that he'll be even worse this year in Washington. And if you ask what was in his favor last year, Indy had a top 10 offensive line. They had one of the best league's running backs. And the coach, being one of his best friends in Frank Reich, pretty much spoon-fed and scripted game plans for him to succeed. And they were the third best halftime team and had the third most leads at halftime as well. So that correlates to throwing less in the second half and not having to push the ball. And despite all this, Wentz had 7 turnovers. He was 33rd in accuracy. And over the past 2 seasons, if you include his 2020 season when he was at Philly, he had an uncatchable pass rate of 23%. So let's just think about that for a second. That nearly 1 in 4 passes that he throws can't be caught by a receiver. Like, that's just insane to me. That's just wild. And the other reason I do like this play as well is that Washington were ranked dead last in intended air yards last year. So I think there's going to be focus from them to push the ball downfield and become a bit more explosive, because that's at least one area that Wentz has shown some progression and he's pretty good in. So whilst that can help their attack with more scoring, it can also lead to greater errors and more inconsistency. And that's exactly what we need for this bet to cash. And for a quarterback who's already shown decline over the past few seasons, what's it going to look like when they're behind trying to chase points, when he doesn't have a guy called Jonathan Taylor in his backfield, and when he's behind the middle of the road offensive line, not a top 10 unit like he had last year? So this could very well be the season where we see Wentz's last year in the NFL. I think this is his last chance. And I think he can get around double the interceptions he had last year. So if he can be somewhere in that 14, 15 range, then I think that's going to give us a decent shot of cashing.
The only thing I'll say against that is how well that Sam Howell has been playing through the preseason. So there is a very strong possibility that Wentz gets benched.
And that's the point I was going to make, that most intercepts is a funny one. You need the quarterback to play not very well, but you need enough job security that they can play enough games. The thing I like about that is I would have thought Wentz has a bit of job security there, but also we know he's a risk taker. This kind of leads us into any other season props, season-long player props. Maddie, whether you've got a thought on the Podonises or just any others that you wanted to share out that are available tonight.
Yeah, well, fading Carson Wentz is never a bad idea. So I agree with his handicap there. And Eddie's right as well. You want him to play all season. If he's that bad, you know, maybe it's time for Howell. But I've got 2 season-long player props I'll give out now. And the first is Miles Sanders, Philadelphia Eagles running back. He's under 900.5 rush yards, $1.87 on Ladbrokes. Look, it's just going to be a running back by committee at Philly. Injury history as well. He's played 12 games his last 2 seasons. Hasn't hit this over in his career, in his 3-season career so far. And he is 25 now, so he's just at the age where you're starting to go downhill as a running back. And the addition of AJ Brown, I think, is going to cause a little bit more passing for Philly. So I like the fade on Sanders. He can still have a good year, 700-800 yards, but I think 900 is a bit high. Next one is the King, Derrick Henry, under his rushing touchdowns. That's 13.5 touchdowns at $1.87. I think that's a really high number. This is his seventh season. He's 28 years old. He's now got to be an injury risk, you'd think. Barring his insane 2020 seasons, he had 16 and 17 there. Every other season he's been under. Look, just one setback injury-wise, the bet's an instant cash. Increased chance that the Titans regress and they're more in passing down. So I just think 13.5 is a huge number on Henry.
If he was dating Leonardo DiCaprio, he'd been thrown in the bin long ago. And you know what? He's NFL running backs are usually judged as harshly as in terms of their age as Leo does judge his girlfriends. So Henry has really bucked the trend there in terms of the amount of workload he's gotten through. So I don't mind just fading that because he's been superhuman, but at some point he has got to hit a wall, you would think. I mean, I guess he didn't go over last year because he got injured, and you can get into whether or not that was related to workload or just bad luck. Neddy, have you got any player props?
I'm going Jonathan Taylor under 1,400 rush yards. I'm being serious. So last year he had 14 rushes of 20-plus yards, right, which actually equated to 500 yards rushing. That is not sustainable. I think they're going to be doing a lot more passing. I think on Unibet you can get that one for $1.87, 1,400. And I've also taken another one, which is sort of the opposite. I've actually gone Zeke over 800 yards rushing. So even though Zeke is Zeke and they're trying to bring in Pollard, I call bullshit. I think Jerry Jones loves him too much. He's only missed two starts in 4 years. I think the lowest rushing total he's put out for a season, as I look, has actually been 979. Every other year, it's been 1,600, 1,400, 1,300, and last year, even 1,000 on that one. So that's another one that I've played over. And yes, it's still fun to watch Ezekiel Elliott run around sometimes.
And Jerry Jones had a quote the other day that if there was a coach out there better than Mike McCarthy to bring a Super Bowl to Dallas, they would get the job. Sean Payton doesn't have a job this year.
He's
so just putting that out there. Hey, let's share our season multis. I'll let you go first, Maddie. I'm going to be able to put yours up on the screen. Yours is $21, isn't it? And people can back that now. Talk us through it.
I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah, there it is up there. Chicago under 6.5 wins. That's one of my favorite win totals of the season. They're just a disaster. Look, Justin Fields looks like he could be a good prospect, but he's got nothing else to work with. Tampa under 11.5 wins. I mean, they're going to be a decent team still, but hitting 12 wins on that schedule is going to be pretty rough, especially with, you know, no O-line, missing your center. San Fran to make the playoffs. We talked enough about that one. Have I got any more there? I've just missed the comments there.
Division
winners, Buffalo, Indy, and Philly. So $21, I think, is an outstanding price. Full unit, maybe two for me.
Of all of those, Philly's the only leg that's kind of plus odds. I could definitely, you know, see all the other ones being more likely to happen than not. And we've all agreed that we like Philly. So I do believe that one's very juicy. Neddy, we'll put your one up next and you can talk us through paying $11, I believe.
Yeah, so I've touched on a lot of these ones. Obviously, the Dolphins, Cowboys, and Vikings. The main one I'm pushing in here as well, and I played, the Cardinals team total under. They have a very strong habit with Cliff Kingsbury. Even when you go back to 2013, when he was at Texas Tech, and then even with the Cardinals now, the first seven games, 42-20, the rest, 17-45, they notoriously fall off a cliff. Kyler Murray has actually only been healthy for 16 games of, I think, 36 or something like that in his last couple of seasons. Keeps getting hurt. They're going to start. I think they have a tough schedule to open up. I think they've got the Raiders, the Rams, and someone else in there. The Chiefs, there you go. And then from week 10 onwards, they actually have the hardest schedule in the NFL. So this is when they fall off a cliff later in the season. They actually have the hardest schedule. I don't think Kyler's going to be healthy. This is one that I've added in there to my other points that I made before. I think the Cardinals are on a down year.
And despite my failure last year with my season multi, I've done all right in some events and I've been in the lab again today. And mine kind of similar to Maddie's. I'll put it up. I don't think I've got a screenshot, but let me see if I can put it up in the comments, if nothing else. Okay, I've got four teams to make the playoffs. It's a six-leg multi paying $11 in TopSport, but I'm going to make the case it's really only a four-leg multi because I've got the Bills to make the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. And I've got the Bears to miss the playoffs, which they will. So that leaves four teams. Three to make the playoffs. Colts. Well, they're the favorite to win their division. Remember, you don't have to win your division. Three sides get a wild card as well. We all think the Colts are good, but Honest came on and made the case for the Colts for the number one seed. Eagles make the playoffs. Again, we like them to win their division, but they could, in the NFC where it's not as strong, big chance to get one of the three wild cards again. Think they're contending for a plus one. And Bengals, and that's one you can debate either way. And Nettie, you did make the case, you know, maybe against the Bengals, but I also talked about how this side made the Super Bowl last year and a lot of their best players are young and could be even better. I'm not sure if they're even going to win their division. I think Baltimore's every chance. I think both of you guys picked Baltimore in the AFC North, but Baltimore's shorter odds, and I don't think it's that. I think it's pretty close, and I definitely think two teams from that division are going to get in. And that just leaves one other side to miss the playoffs, and I don't think the Raiders are going to be that bad. I can't remember if we spoke about how, you know, Josh McDaniels, that's going to be interesting, but it's his first year, so will they hit the ground running? But the ultimate factor with the Raiders is that's the toughest division. It's the very first one we spoke about when you got the Broncos with Russell Wilson, you've got the Chargers, who you think has a chance to win the Super Bowl, and your Chiefs, Matty. My pick would be the Raiders will come fourth out of four in that division. So that's why I picked them to miss $11, that is, on TopSport. You can join TopSport if you need to with the promo code TRIPOD. Get on mine and also the other boys' ones as soon as you can if you like it, because once they hit liability limits, they will potentially drop the odds. And I think all the odds we've shared tonight are pretty juicy. And submit your own if you want to create your own preseason multi, something that's fun. You can throw a few dollars out and ride all season long. Tristan said you still got until tomorrow night, being Tuesday night, to submit those. Any final thoughts? Actually, I am going to press you guys for a Super Bowl pick. Shall we go in that direction? And I can ask you guys who you'd be taking, and then you can sign off with any final thoughts. So, Matty, who does lift the I want to say Vince Lombardi trophy?
Yeah, well, I think the winner's coming from the AFC. And if I got the Bills winning that championship game, I've got to go with the Buffalo Bills. But my Chiefs are going to be right in it, and I'm not giving up hope on them.
And Nettie?
Chargers. I think they're the best roster top to bottom. And I think the only thing that's actually going to stop them is their own coaching or injuries.
So another AFC team. And I'm going to go Bills as well. So I do think that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And that's why I tipped Allen. I think Allen MVP may even be the better play than Buffalo, because they are pretty short as far as Super Bowl favorites go. But I'd probably be backing both, and you'll have a pretty fun season. Remember, a couple of years ago, I tipped Kansas City for kind of similar reasons, that you just got a powerhouse side that's a heavy favorite most of the time that they play. And if they play as impressive as we think they can, then their odds are just going to keep getting shorter every week. But you never know, and that's part of the reason why we love this sport. And I can't wait to see what you guys are providing for us every single week. Once again, Maddie with Barney, stay tuned. They will let you know when the weekly time is going to be for that show, whether it be a Friday night or a Saturday, with plenty of prop bets and value wherever they can find it. And Nettie breaking down the game like only he can on Sundays. We're going to be giving away NFL jerseys again, and that will be to people who comment on your guys' shows. So that's going to do it for NFL previews, guys. I'm not going to be doing anything else on a weekly basis for now, because I'm still solely focused on the NRL. So I will see you guys next on Wednesday night to preview week one of the finals. Then Thursday night, Maddie will be back. We've got the five guys who are doing a special preview extravaganza for the NRL. But Nettie is such a fiend for NFL that he's barely even aware of what NRL stands for. So we'll leave you just to go into, yeah, just going to your happy place for the next few months, Nettie. This is everything that you live and breathe, and we can't wait. And as I said, we might have more things, special announcements to make. But stay tuned for that. Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight. We hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you thought, what you're backing, and Lego.